All righty, and good afternoon, everybody. As you can probably see, I am not James. I am Bob, otherwise known as Sideshow Nav. And today, for this afternoon, we're going to kick it off with Whitsitt and Brianna on should kids be allowed to transition. We'll start with 5-minute openings on each, Brianna going first. For about 60 minutes, have open dialogue, and then lessons learned we'll have, and especially on this topic, about 30 minutes of Q&A, if that's okay with you two.
Love questions.
All right, so get your questions ready. Listen up. With no further ado, I will turn the floor over to Brianna for your 5-minute opening.
Thank you. I've got some friends over here. I appreciate that. Hi, my name is Brianna Wu. I am a software engineer. Most people know me from Gamergate. I ran for Congress. And a few months ago, I finally decided to come out and start talking about trans issues more openly. I feel really strongly that the course we're on is a really, really destructive one. So just setting the tone today, if you're looking for the progressive line, that hardcore line, like should all kids be able to transition, I'm the wrong guest for you. Like, I'm not going to come here with moralism today. We're going to talk through the science of what we know and who this is beneficial for. So I think if we are talking about children transitioning, it is really helpful to separate this into three cohorts and really two different subtypes of each cohort. And I'm going to go through it really quickly. So the first one is what I'm going to call the non-binary political project. You know, all these kids that decide they're halfway between things, should they be allowed to transition? The answer to this is clearly no. There's no study I can point to that shows this helps them. There's no protocol to even identify these people. So either autistic or not autistic, I think that answer is very clearly no. The second group I want to talk about is natal females that want to transition to be boys. Should they be allowed to transition? I think a little bit of historical context is very helpful for this. When I transitioned 20 years ago, or the people before me transitioned, overwhelmingly, this was people like me. It was natal boys that wanted to be women. You can go back 3,000 years in history, and you can see people like me. We were Roman priestesses that castrated ourselves and decided to go live as women. This new cohort of female to male transsexuals is actually very, very new. And I don't know if people know this. They've actually replaced us in massive numbers. There are many, many more natal females transitioning today than natal males. So if we're looking at their health care, should they be allowed to transition? To me, this answer is also no. I don't see any danger in making them wait until they're 18. Testosterone is so powerful, as our very macho men in the audience here can show you, it will work as well at 15 as it will at 25. There's no rush to getting these natal females any help with this. Additionally, the overwhelming majority of the detransitioners, the people that transition and don't like it, are natal females. The overwhelming bulk of this. So the autistic ones particularly have some other issues. Who is the third group here? It's the people like me, natal males that want to grow up and be females. And this is where I do think we need a pathway for some people to be able to transition. And to be really clear here, the clinical protocol are way too low. We're medicalizing way too many of these kids. But the reality is testosterone is so powerful that if you're forcing these young boys to go through puberty, they're going to have a much harder time passing and integrating in life. Yeah, I hope we can get into the psychological damage and also the plastic surgery and the contraindications you have to go through if you do delay that. So what I'm really hoping I can have today with my esteemed co-panelist here today is not a moralized conversation, but one really rooted in healthcare policy and one that does not have like abstract political objectives as the highest principle. What we've got to be talking about here is individual patient outcomes. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for that opening statement. Whitsitt, we'll turn the floor over to you now, sir, for a 5-minute opening.
Thank you very much. All right, so I'll be pretty blunt about my position here. any form of a child being allowed to transition as child abuse. Even the mere possibility that a singular child would then grow up and change its mind completely eliminates any moral groundwork for claiming that they should be allowed to transition. Now, obviously, this position is not the more progressive and extreme one, which is that all children should be able to, and it's a violation of human rights if they're not allowed to. But any sexualization of children is child abuse. And when I was a child, I wasn't talking about sex. I wasn't trying to memorize pronouns. I wasn't trying to figure out if I wanted to be what I was. I was playing with my friends outside. And it is an atrocity that we've normalized this. So to get into more of the specifics, there is something called autogynephilia. Okay, and it is the core of what actually goes on with most of the transgenderism. So you have men dressing up as women, and it's because they are sexually aroused at the idea of being a woman, being perceived as a woman, etc. And so that is a fetish. That is actually sexual deviancy. So to even introduce this idea to children, certainly in a public setting, is child abuse. You're teaching a child about a sexual fetish. Okay, now that is actually the core of it. And as was pointed out, I mean, the vast majority of transgenderism is male to female. So either way, you should not be teaching children this, and I'll obviously address some of the basics most people probably know. When someone wants to detransition, but they find out that these chemicals that they've taken, all of the medicine that they've gone, God forbid, surgery that they've undergone, it's irreversible, and oftentimes they want to commit suicide because they feel like there is no way out. And actually, the suicide data is overwhelming and has been basically buried. So one of the other points I want to make kind of in the closing of the opener, I guess, is that a large motivation for pushing this is not just political, it's actually financially driven, because there's an entire additional stream of revenue for doctors performing these surgeries and insurance companies that they originally did not have. And so they turn their head to anything. They open up any study that would allow for them to be able to introduce this new additional revenue. So not only are we abusing children, we're doing so that certain companies and doctors can line their pockets for these surgeries. So I will just bluntly say, I think it is completely unacceptable across the board. It is literally child abuse. I think that any adult that sexualizes children or tries to convince them they can do this, much less gives them any of this medicine or chemicals or anything like that, even the psychological or emotional transitioning, should be a crime. You should not be allowed to do that to children. They are innocent, and you are warping their mind and putting them in a position that will allow them to be, or cause them to be, much more prone to suicidal thoughts. So that is my take. I have a pretty hard stance on it. I'm a absolutist. You should not be allowing children to transition at all. So.
Fair enough.
All right, thank you for those opening statements. Before I forget, yet once again, we have been doing the manifold votes. So after hearing their opening statements, those who think that Brianna's going to make the most compelling arguments, if you could raise your hands, hold your hands up. Let me get a quick count on that. Hold them high so I can see them. Okay. And those who think that Whitsitt is going to convince you, hold your hands high.
Tough crowd.
All righty. And with that, James?
Really quick. Thanks so much for that, Bob. Want to add, the reason that we're doing that is because Manifold is a sponsor of DebateCon. You can check out the link in the description box below. If you're watching at home, Manifold is the world's largest social prediction market. And you can predict at home via the link, or if you want to look it up on Manifold Now with the app, you can predict who will be most persuasive in this debate. Thanks to our sponsor, Manifold. And with that, thank you very much, Bob.
And with that, the floor is all yours for 60 minutes open dialogue.
I want to really get into this. Like, respectfully, I could sit here and spend 2 hours fact-checking all those claims she made, because it's just, it's so difficult. It's a fire hose. Like, you're saying stuff that's kind of true, but it's not really true. So I guess this is my grand question to you. What kind of discussion are we having here today? I think if we're talking about healthcare policy, it makes the most sense to talk about studies, what we know, scientific labeling of things, really examine these claims that we made. The overarching theme for everything you're saying seemed to be moralizing, like something straight out of the religious right or what we know the progressives are always doing. You can't say this, you can't do this. So which way would you like this to go? Do you want to talk about the science, or do you want to get into your heavily moralized discussion here?
Okay. Just using the word science doesn't mean anything to me. Like, that's just a catch-all phrase people use. And we could properly define science if you would like to, but all these new neo terminology, it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it's immoral. So, like, if you can come up with some type of quote-unquote scientific evidence that, like, raping children's okay, is that okay? Or is it just illegal because it's wrong and it's the abuse of children?
Hold on here, buddy. You are just literally appealing to multiple scientific stats in your opening statement. She brought up suicide stats. She brought up the sexology theory of the typology with AGP. You were talking about regret rates. These are all scientific concepts. You understand, yes?
I understand that you're utilizing the word science that way, and that's okay. It's not actually what science is.
Oh.
But if you want to use it loosely, I'm fine with that. I don't care about a semantical argument.
We're talking about your arguments, my friend. These are arguments you made.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. And you're not addressing any of those. So you said that they're all
Let's go through it. Let's go through it. Okay.
This is be beneficial for everyone. You're saying that the vast majority of children shouldn't be allowed to transition,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Let me dig into that, because the way I want to do this, hand to God, look at me, everyone in the audience. If you follow the Brianna Wu playbook on this, the number of children transitioning would be reduced by anywhere from 85 to 95%. And the kids that would be transitioning, if I introduced you to these children, it would break your heart. These are literally natal boys that they're 3 years old, and they are telling you, I'm a girl. They are horrified by their body. They're shutting down. They grow up to have more emotional damage than I think you can understand if you've not actually had this child.
What, a three-year-old?
It can literally be that old, yes.
I have a two-year-old, sure. And she changes her mind every 5 minutes. She's a spaceship one minute.
Of course. You don't take one moment and extrapolate it. This is what it looks like. Really, look at me and hear me here. So the way it looks is you have a child. They start saying something from a really young age. They come to you. They're like, Mommy, I'm supposed to be a girl. What's going on?
And you, that doesn't happen.
You wish that away.
That's never happened.
It literally happens.
That's literally never occurred on the earth.
Okay. Well, you're full of shit.
A three-year-old's gone up to their mom and said, I'm supposed to be a girl. That's your argument? That doesn't happen. Unless that parent has suggested that idea to them, they would never even conceive of I'm supposed to be something other than I am. They're still trying to figure out what even humans are.
That's not true.
It's not.
And hold on. Something that's really important to me as we're going here, I'd like to have good faith. I'm going to take your argument seriously. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to respond to it. It's not always three, but it's going to happen. The older you get, the more strong these declarations are going to get. The child is going to learn maladaptive behaviors. They're going to start having a lot of trouble integrating. They're going to be mocked. They're going to have trouble making friends. And yet I had a really close sibling that saw this with me growing up. They told me it was like seeing the light in my eyes die day by day by day, to the point where, you know, when I was 10, I couldn't leave the house. It was very difficult for me to go to school. My grades were terrible. I'm a reasonably smart person. So I did need help. You may not want to believe that.
No, this is an appeal to emotion.
This is what a parent is trying to decide.
You're appealing to the emotion.
I'm telling you clinically what this looks like.
I'm letting you know that, logically speaking, your entire argument is invalid. It's called an appeal to emotion.
No.
Now, if you want to address the actual situation, I brought up that even you are saying that up to 90% of children shouldn't transition. Okay. you're now presenting that as a sales pitch, as in it's beneficial to limit the number of children that transition. That is your fundamental argument. So, thank you. I agree with you. So yeah. Then what are the detriments of those children transitioning that you would then present an argument to limit it?
Well, hold on. Let's talk through what we mean by transition, because there's social transition and there's medical transition. And what I'm telling you is there's no rush for female to male transsexuals in going quickly. A mastectomy will work just as well for them at 18 or 19 as it will for 14. There's no reason to rush this because their detransition rates, hold on, are so high. But
you're not
addressing what I'm telling you is if you do this the other way, there is permanent damage that ends up happening, and you're setting that person up for a much more difficult life.
There's permanent damage that happens when you allow the children to transition too quickly as a child.
I agree.
Is that what you were saying?
That's my point. Can be, yes.
Yeah, right. So then we agree that this is a delicate situation, and
yes,
it's extremely dangerous for children to transition, because when they get older, if they change their mind, like children do, then they could be suicidal, right? Because now they're stuck. If a child's going through puberty and then you just bombard them with chemicals, then it's like, what are we going to do now? Now they can never go back. They can never mature the same. And then what you did was still deflect away from the point, which was, if you don't mind, list off the negative side effects of allowing those kids to transition that's required for you to support your own argument. You're saying, if we went my route, it would be 90% less. So you're saying that's a good thing. You're saying it's a good thing to cut down.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Healthcare is not all or nothing.
You're saying it's a good thing to cut down on the total number of
yes.
children transitioning.
Yes.
Okay, why is that a good thing?
Because the reason it is a good thing is these are permanent decisions. And what the science, what the studies are showing right now is the bulk of people that are transitioning and regretting it, they are natal females that regret transitioning to male. Think about all the celebrities out there talking about this, like people like Chloe Cole. They all come from one cohort. This is what I need for you to hear. Here are the stats. I can show you science to back this up. If you're a natal male and you're someone like I was at 4 years old, you had gender dysphoria, you're very confused about this. There's a 90% chance that you're going to grow out of this and you're just going to be gay. I had a 90% chance of that. There's a 10% chance that you're going to grow up and then transition and be a transsexual. The way that we tell this is if the child at the onset of puberty still has that gender dysphoria, then it is overwhelmingly likely they are going to have that for the rest of their life. This is a medical condition that is overwhelmingly not going to go away. It does not make sense to me to leave that child in a position where they cannot get treatment and they cannot have help when it's going to make their life so much worse. So hold off the medicalization.
Well, what if it doesn't?
Hold
what if they change
let
their
me
mind?
Finish. Let me
well,
finish.
Well, you're just kind of monologuing non sequiturs.
My point is, let the child, you're talking about this like we are medicalizing four-year-olds. We're not. I'm saying wait, take a cautious approach, get a long case history there. Only do this to the most extreme cases.
Okay. So I am asking you what the negative side effects are, and you said, only thing you said that even would be an answer is that it's a permanent decision, okay?
Sure, let's get through it. For which cohort do you want the
It
negative?
Doesn't matter, because for
it
any,
does
of,
matter.
For
you
any
asked,
of them.
You said I didn't answer your question. Tell me which cohort
right.
you want the answer
you didn't,
to.
You didn't. I asked you to list the negative side effects of allowing children to transition, because in your own argument, you are presenting that as to be the case.
Okay. I'm not going to stay on defensive this whole time. You're going to answer some of my questions, but let me answer it really quickly. So as I said in my opening statement, for the non-binary cohort, there's no science to back this up that makes their lives better. That's why you don't want to let them transition. For the female to males, the statistical probability is that they are going to not like it and they're going to detransition and have bad feelings about that. It's obviously suboptimal to have breast reconstruction when you had a mastectomy when you were 12 years old. That's a contraindication. Also, testosterone is so powerful, it's going to fuck those girls up and their ability to pass.
Wait, are you pro letting a like little boy have medical
and then
surgery?
Go off into that. So the
well,
third
because
thing is
not
for the male to female cohort. The downsides to this is if you have one of these boys that had gender confusion at a very young age, there's actually a high likelihood they're going to grow up to be gay. So if you medicalize that too quickly, you could be doing damage to someone that's gay. But again, the good news is we have fairly high certainty, because if that position is still onset at puberty, it's still present.
What are with all these vague terms? What does fairly high certainty mean? What does that mean?
I'm not going to sit here and answer defensive questions.
Okay, so fairly high certainty is not 100%, right?
It's a 90% chance, roughly.
90% chance that if a little boy temporarily thinks he could be a girl, that he's going to stay like that forever? Is that your claim?
It doesn't stay that way forever, dude. It doesn't.
Okay, so if a little boy says, I think I want to be a girl, you're saying that falls in the category if there's like six criteria, so let's say they check all the boxes. You keep saying the reason you should allow that child to transition, which is objectively child abuse. You're saying that you should abuse that child because there's a strong likelihood that when they got older, they wouldn't change their mind. So what is a strong likelihood? Like what's the percentage chance that child
I'm going to repeat
mind?
This to you. And why don't you, I know you have something going on. Look at me so you can hear this here. There's about a 90% chance that that child is going to grow out of it. If the gender dysphoria is still there at puberty, there's a near certainty to the fact I cannot point to any study showing people the detransition. There's basically no evidence anyone can point to that the gender dysphoria ever goes away if it's still present at puberty. Do you process that?
Yeah, that's a cool claim. So there's obviously
show me
you
a
can,
study to prove
literally
this.
Anyone in here yes. can just pull their phone up and Google detransitioners,
yes.
including people after puberty from boys to girls.
Please do.
Okay,
and
it's effortless. I've seen them. I've seen them cry and be suicidal. So here's the question. What is the acceptable amount? If one child then regrets it and then commits suicide,
okay.
is that okay?
What we're not going to do. I'm not going to spend this entire time on the defensive. You need to answer. This is good
You're
faith.
Making the
this
affirmative claim.
Faith. We need to go back and forth.
You're
so
advocating that we abuse children.
Here's my question for you. At what point do the parents who understand their child best, why can't a parent have the right to go to a psychiatrist, they understand their parent, their child the best, talk to them, find a course of treatment? Why do you get to override what a parent gets to choose to do with their own child's health care? Why is that something you have the moral right to do?
Now, children aren't dogs, or not even dogs. Like, they're not inanimate objects that you just play with so you can run around and virtue signal about how you have a transgender child. It's a child that's learning how to even process the world. Okay? And there's so many different layers to this. If a child goes to school and he has a crush on a girl and he goes and asks her out and then she laughs at him, he's going to be like, damn, that sucked. He's going to feel all bad, get all sad about it, right? If he comes home and his parents are letting him know, well, maybe, you know, you don't really have to be a boy and all this stuff, that little boy may think, oh, well, you know, I'll never have to face that rejection again. I can just be a girl. And people can, we're talking about children. I don't know if you guys have children, okay, but they change their mind a lot. They're very emotional. They're actually trying to learn how to process their emotions. Things like rejection and not being accepted is a big deal to them. If you have someone putting in their ears all this sexualized terminology and this gender confusion, then they're going to just look for a way out of whatever uncomfortable position they're in. So that is child abuse, to even sexualize the children at all. What age should the children be allowed to have a conversation about changing their gender? You're talking about ages like 3 years old.
You're not answering my question and going into some bullshit, so I'm going to ask again. What gives you the moral right? A parent knows their child best. What gives you the right to go override a parent's right to make a medical decision about their own child with a doctor? Why do you get to override
this? This isn't just a medical decision. It's like you can't just, a parent can choose to do anything to their child and we'll just call it medical. If the child says, I don't think I should have two arms. So there's
a medical protocol for this.
Okay,
there's
so the child
protocol.
Says, I don't think I should have two arms.
There are
and then
statistics, that's not the same.
You don't want to see the conclusion of this drawn out, obviously. The
it's
child
a
says,
shitty analogy. It's bullshit.
That's what you say, but the child says, I don't want to have two arms, mommy. And mommy says, you know what? This is my right as his parent.
There's
we're gonna
no
take him
doctor
to. We're
gonna
take him
to
get amputated. That. Who are you to say that they can't cut off that child's arm?
There's not a doctor out there that's going to facilitate that.
I go to Africa to find somebody.
There are doctors out there that specialize in this that see these kinds of children all day long. And again, I'm telling you, they're being over-medicalized. But there are, in good faith, doctors that will look at this. I think you're being so cavalier because you do not understand how difficult it is for these parents. They don't want to have this problem.
My experience is that most of them like the virtue signal about it, and they hold up their children like a little token trophy of how amazingly progressive they are, and then they cause a lifelong damage to that child. And this is the part that didn't get addressed in my opener either. So there's something I'm sure you're aware of, right? Autogynephilia? Is that how you say it?
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Sure.
So that is the one of the typically not addressed. Some people are more bold. I think you've actually openly proclaimed that that applies to you.
No.
And so on your Twitter. So this is where a man gets sexually aroused at the idea of being a woman or other people perceiving them to be a woman. So it's a sexual fetish. So is it child abuse to introduce a sexual fetish to a child?
So first of all, if we're going to have a good faith conversation...
Straightforward question. Is this a yes or no
question? We're going to have a good faith conversation. You're not going to say that kind of bullshit. That's over the line. I never said that on my Twitter. That's a fucking lie.
You never said what? You mean to pull
it? I said I had an autogynephilia. That's absolutely bullshit.
You mean to read it?
So let's go through this one by one.
I will read it.
Actually, don't surf your whole fucking thing while we're
talking. Oh. You want to take back that you said it, or you want me to read it?
I did not. Forget it. So
yeah.
Let's talk through this.
You said it.
Let's talk about this.
Answer my question.
What is your question?
Is it child abuse to introduce a sexual fetish to a child?
The question makes no sense because this is not about a sexual fetish for the child. In fact,
so you agree it would be child abuse?
If you look at what we actually know about this phenomenon, you don't understand enough to have a conversation about this. There's a thing.
These are just all fallacies.
Identity defense model.
You don't understand.
Where AGP is a consequence of not affirming the child is not a root cause of this. And a child is never going to, they're not seeing their gender. They haven't even hit puberty yet to have anything like this. Who do you think discovered the typology?
All right, many trans women go into sex work because a lot of us have autogynephilia and being objectified
many
is erotic for us.
Many trans women go into sex work.
For us.
Because many trans
a lot
women
of us have.
I've never done fucking sex work, dude.
No, I didn't say, no. I said, but a lot of us have autogynephilia. So you have absolutely, and there's multiple times where you've addressed it, attributing it to you. I have a very simple question. Okay?
Can you admit that you lied? That's just bullshit.
Lied about what?
It's total bad faith here. Are we having a real discussion? No,
yes, you're afraid to address this because this is the blunt truth of this. It's sexual
deviancy. I'm trying to address it and you don't understand
deviancy.
Enough.
That's what this is. It's sexual deviancy. And men have this weird sexual fantasy or fetish about being perceived as a woman. That's what it is. And so why are we introducing sexualized ideas and fetishes to children? That's child abuse. My question to you is it child abuse to introduce a sexual fetish to a child? It's a yes or no question.
It would be if that's what is happening.
Okay.
I need you to pause, take a breath, just chill. It's going to be okay.
I'm glad we
agree. I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to walk the audience through it too. There are two types of transsexuals according to Blanchard typology, which has been, it's a very iffy theory. We actually had one of the main professors of this, John Michael Bailey, on my show a few weeks ago to talk about this in depth. So the first thing you need to know is there's a very small sample size for this, but most honest trans women will tell you it's onto something. So one of the things, there are two types. There's one, there's the homosexual transsexual. This tends to be very early onset, so the children you're talking about, by definition, are generally going to be homosexual transsexuals. We're the ones interested in boys, and we generally grow up to be people like me. The other ones, you have onset at puberty. That's roughly around seventh grade, 12, 13, 14. That can be the autogynephilic type. What is important to understand about this is the AGP type. That's not the core thing motivating the behavior. It is a consequence of not being affirmed. It is a maladaptive coping mechanism.
Okay. Children shouldn't even be introduced to sexual ideas. You keep on, you keep moving the goalposts. It is.
I'm trying to
homosexuality
explain something to you.
Is a sexual orientation.
No one's talking about
you.
You're talking about wearing tutus,
dude,
and playing
you gotta
with
chill.
Barbies.
Chill out. Okay. So, what age is it appropriate to have any of this type of discussion with a child? How old does a child need to be before you start introducing the ideas of sexual orientation, changing your gender?
You shouldn't talk about it. What you should do for those children at a young age is let them be themselves. If they want to play with Barbie dolls, let them play with Barbie dolls. If they want to play with Taylor Swift, let them do that. If they want to watch girls' cartoons, let them do that. I'm talking about just letting them be themselves.
Okay, and then once they hit puberty, if they still feel like they're more girly, then it's okay to transition. Now, I want you, let's just, we're going to cut straight to the chase here.
I am saying that is the point.
Let's just cut straight to the chase. What are you advocating?
Where it makes sense for them to go to a therapist that can help them unpack those feelings.
Okay, so what are you advocating? You said there's different types of transition, right? So like emotional, psychological, chemical, medical, surgical, I don't know. You named them. What are you advocating for? For a 13-year-old boy who says, I think I want to be a girl. Instead of like going and playing some sports and working out and be like, no, I just need to get the girl. I need to figure out how to get the girl. They're like, no, I'll be a girl. Okay. And so they're all confused and they're growing up and there's all these hormones going on. You're trying to figure out what's going on in the world. 13 says, I think I should be a girl. And we all know they're being propagandized and that's the truth. And it's in
what's
the curriculum.
The evidence for this?
It's in the curriculum. What's the evidence that children are being propagandized? Is that the question?
Well, okay.
Yeah. Including in curriculum and all over their YouTube kids and everything. Okay. So say propagandized, thinks he wants to be a girl at 13. You're advocating they should be transitioned. I'm asking
that's
what.
That's not what I said.
It is absolutely not what I said. It is what you said.
I'm going to repeat this to you. It gets us so bad faith. It is so frustrating. Y'all, I can sit here and list every single study. I can talk about every aspect of this. He doesn't understand enough about this subject to have a genuine discussion.
Okay, poisoning the well, ad hominems, red herrings, appeals to emotion. Next. Can we answer the question?
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay, that is just a baseless assertion. It's not an actual rebuttal. I asked you a simple question. What are you even here advocating for? You said there's different types of transition. You use that to muddy the water when you were asked another specific question.
It's a medical fact.
Okay, so what type of transitioning are you advocating for children?
So I'm going to say this to you again.
This is a very
straightforward hope you can hear me. I know it's hard for you to look at me, but try it. It may help you process it this time. The non-binaries, don't do it. The female to males, don't do it.
Don't do what?
Don't transition them.
Transition
them
how?
Wait.
Right, you said there's different types.
Don't medically transition them.
Medically transition. Let's talk about what does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm going to answer your question. And I may need the moderator to step in. I'm not going to send this entire thing on the back foot. This has to be some good faith.
You're saying that we should abuse children. You're taking the affirmative.
So the final type is the male to female transsexual. And this is what I would say. If a child has early onset, like around 5 years old, you need to not rush it. You need to not medicalize this very quickly. It's very important to go slow. I would also say it's very important to find a non-ideological doctor. It is absolutely true that a lot of these gender clinics are held by the progressive fringe, and they're pushing medicalization on these kids. So make really sure you've got a doctor that you trust and that you will be able to answer questions to. So do not medically transition those kids. Do let them start exploring themselves, because what you're probably going to find 90% of those times is those males are just going to grow up to be gay. Now, in the 10% chance where puberty onsets and they still have these feelings, I think it makes sense to go to a therapist, see if it makes sense to transition, leave a door open there, but make it for the most serious, long, documented cases. Symptomology has to drive treatment. All I'm saying is there should be a window open there for those cases.
You didn't specifically answer it. So,
how did I not answer that?
Well, I'm happy to explain. Do you advocate specific medical transitioning of children? Don't say, I think they should go to a therapist. Answer the question. No. Are you saying they should be surgically transitioned? Should they be surgically transitioned?
In those very rare cases, what makes sense to me is surgery should be off the table. And the good news is the Plastic Surgeon Society has just said they are not going to operate on any more minors. So these horror stories of girls getting mastectomies at 14, that's not going to happen.
So we agree that's child abuse.
That's not going to happen anymore.
So we agree on that.
What I am saying,
do we agree that's child abuse?
What I'm saying is,
talk about bad
for
faith.
Those kids, as they're, I'm saying, it makes sense for them to get them on hormones, anti-androgens, and estrogen, and to make sure that their body is not damaged by testosterone, and to let them start socially transitioning.
Okay. What about when that boy decides that he doesn't want to be a girl in 3 years?
Told you the odds of that are, there's no study I can point to that says that's going to happen.
So you're just making the baseless claim, and you're appealing to the absence of evidence.
I'm telling you, there's scientific basis for what you're worried about.
You're appealing to the absence of evidence to say that there's going to be nobody that changes their mind. That's your argument. So if there are some that change their mind, which there obviously are, okay, you can just go to TikTok and watch people bawl their eyes out about how they got tricked into transitioning by these perverted adults that are sexual deviants, and now they wish they could go back. So you're claiming that doesn't exist at all.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a different cohort in a way you don't understand.
This is your whole argument. It just, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
You don't understand my plight. If only you understood, and then you appeal to the emotion of the audience, but you don't address what I'm saying.
That's horseshit. I'm talking about policy and science and cohorts and things we know.
In the scenario that someone changes their mind, okay, do you agree that's a bad thing?
Let me walk you through why someone changes their mind. This is complicated.
Do you agree it's a bad thing?
I'm not going to keep going on my back foot. You're going to let me explain things so the audience can understand this so they can learn something.
Well, you're trying to actually not address exact points.
Thank you. There are multiple kinds of transsexuals. Okay. So one of the things that's happened with this progressive project is transvestites have been rolled into the transsexual category. When I transitioned 20 years ago, no one was talking about putting transvestites, males that get a sexual fetish from wearing women's clothing, on HRT. Today, those people are rolled into the trans umbrella. Some of them have some gender dysphoria, but they are people with very lurid fantasies of being a woman. And what you're seeing in a lot of these detransitioner cases is these are people with low body dysmorphia that are not really strongly wanting to transition, and it's not serving them. And they are finding that life as a woman is difficult and does not serve them. This is why this progressive project to take away all medical guidelines, the same set of procedures I had to go through to transition, you don't have to follow that anymore today. So the detransitioners are not the boys who said they had an issue when they're 14 years old. Statistically, it's not them. It is adults with a long history of fetishistic cross-dressing and low body dysmorphia who find it does not serve them.
Okay, so this is the problem. It's just like big monologue, not address the question specifically.
It's policy. I'm trying to explain complicated stuff to you.
Okay, chill out. So like you're afraid to answer the questions directly.
I'm not.
And you are.
They're just too complicated for you to understand.
No, they're not. You're talking about sexualizing children. It's disgusting.
You're switching topic.
No, I'm not.
You're not talking about anything I just said.
10 seconds. We're talking in, every about time I adults. Get, dude, you're freaking out. So the reality of the situation is, I asked you point blank what transitioning should be allowed. Then I said, okay, because you just said statistically they're not going to detransition. Well, just a second ago, there were no studies whatsoever. There were no numbers, no data.
That's right.
Oh, but now we can invoke statistics. Do you know what statistics means? A certain percentage of something? Statistics? You can't invoke statistics without the data. You're just making stuff up. That's what's actually happening.
There is a literal study where they track people.
Hey, let me finish. Thank you. So you're making stuff up and you keep appealing to the emotion of
not
the
true.
Audience. Vague claims, just like baseless assertions. There's no evidence. Statistically speaking.
You are too stupid to have this conversation with.
There you
literally.
Go. Good,
you don't understand anything.
One. That's called an ad hom, buddy.
You're just stupid.
Hey,
You don't know anything about this.
You're freaking out.
You're a dumbass.
All right. Good one.
You're really not smart.
Let Whitsitt answer this, then we'll give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, someone's getting triggered. All right, so.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Someone's getting triggered.
Yeah, you're getting super triggered. So my question was very simple. What about when they change their mind?
I've already answered this.
No,
this
you didn't. See,
can
okay,
we get the moderator to give some structure here?
This they'll never answer the question because the truth is
I've answered it multiple times.
Okay, so then are you saying that's just a... Why is the moderator being voted? She just monologued. He just monologued the whole time. Then I go to talk and immediately get cut off.
Not cutting you off. You asked a question. She says she's already answered it. If you can concisely summarize that answer... Then we'll move on to the next topic.
The question is, you allow some of those children to medically transition with the doctor, but a very low number with very high standards.
That wasn't the question. The question is, what about when they change their mind? Okay, and the answer is that the suicide rate is astronomical. Something
else
that...
Actually, you asked a question, let her answer. What if they change their mind?
It's very statistically unlikely to happen. There's no study to show this happens. I was literally talking to one of the specialists in this field last week who said in decades of doing this work, he's never seen this happen.
Okay. 10th consecutive time the answer question wasn't answered. So I'm asking when it does happen. So it's fine. I'm going to now make my point about it, which is that it can cause suicidal thoughts. It's incredibly detrimental, and everyone knows that. And the suicide rates are through the roof. Something else is they're finding that autism is very prevalent within this community, within transgenderism. So we're talking about people that are confused, people that are struggling. They're being propagandized with all these different sexualized ideas that have sexual fetishes embedded within them. And then they're given all kinds of these irreversible interventions. And when they decide or they find out later that they were tricked and they changed their mind, they become suicidal. So can we agree that that's a very dangerous thing on its face, that the reason that you advocate for dropping the number down 90% is because it's so dangerous that people can become suicidal if we actually allow them to transition and they change their mind?
They are the female to males, which are a very, very new cohort. This did not exist. Like, do y'all realize Buck Angel was like one of the first female to male transsexuals? Like, this is
if you guys
really,
don't know, that's a porn star, because this is all just sexual deviancy.
Go ahead, let her answer.
This is a very new phenomenon. And unlike my debate opponent, I actually sit here and look at the numbers, and that informs the policy that I support. We're not going to have a vibes-based gender, like healthcare system. It's got to be based on the studies. And by the way, this area is so criminally under-researched. One example, you brought up the typology in AGP. This is like the numbers that they are using to force this typology, it is tiny. So every aspect of this is criminally under-researched.
Okay, survey found 8% of respondents had detransitioned temporarily or permanently at some point, and that the majority did so temporarily. Rates of detransition were higher in transgender women, 11%, than transgender men, 4%.
Who is this according to?
U.S. Transgender Survey from 2015 with a cross-sectional non-probability study of 27715 TDD.
Right.
No surveys exist, though. I mean, that just one.
I said for that survey, which I took, this is why you don't understand what you're talking about. That survey, which I took, had adults in it like me. Anyone could click on a link and follow it. My claim was for minors.
No. Your actual claim was that when someone does it male to female, after puberty, that they basically never decide to go back. That's what you said.
If it's early onset.
Okay, now can we agree on this? That the autogynephilia aspect of it
is... I cannot continue this debate if it's just me on my back foot. It has got to be some structured questions.
She has answered that question, so go ahead. What do you want to pose to Whitsitt?
So this is my question.
You'll get a chance after this one.
So how do you think... God, it's hard to even understand where to go. So how, if a child does not have sexual understanding, or at least I didn't, maybe you did, when 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, why are you concluding that this is sexuality when the child is that young? Because for most of these kids, it's identity. They see girls in their group and they want to play with them. They want to play with Barbies. They want to wear tutus. Why are you coming up with this degenerate, weird idea that it's about sex? It's literally just about you trying to act like yourself.
You just said that oftentimes one of the reasons we should be cautious is because really it turns out they're homosexual. So you're talking...
Most gay people know they're gay when they're younger, but they don't have the language for it. It's not sexual.
That's what you say. Okay, so this entire premise is it's sexual in nature, right?
It's not.
It is. It's
100% not.
It absolutely is because, for example...
How do you know that?
Okay, how do I know that? You keep appealing to just like possibilities.
No, just answer my question.
How do I know that?
How do you know it's
because
sex
it's grown adults that are sexual deviants that are all advocating that children be allowed to be introduced to the concepts of changing their gender and then physically transitioning and then making sure they can explore their sexuality. And it's always from the source of adults that are sexual deviants. And when you actually look into it, when it comes to men playing dress up like women, okay, that group of people, there is a huge percentage of autogynephilia, which is specifically sexual in nature. And you yourself admitted it. So you even said that a large percentage of them after puberty that would be identifying as that, it is that autogynephilia in nature.
My question to you is about five-year-olds. You're talking about adults. So let's talk.
Five-year-olds change
their
mind every few days.
That's my question to you is why are you claiming it's about sexuality in children if children don't have sexuality yet?
Because you're introducing the concept that their sexual anatomy needs to be different.
I'm
or
not
isn't,
introducing anything.
No, yes, that's what it is, right? If you're going to consider that I'm a boy but I should be a girl, the very next step is to address your anatomical discrepancies, right? That is the very next thing. Oh, really? So
all I wanted when I was a very young child was to play with Barbies and hang out with girls and watch Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah, just like my little sister liked to watch the Colts and memorize the wide receivers, and then she is married.
Sure.
Now because she grew out of the fact that
this is my point. Let those kids be kids. Don't sexualize them. Don't medicalize them. Like, don't get this bullshit out of the schools.
You're here saying that at a certain age, so 13 or around puberty, so maybe 10, 11, that they should then be transitioned. That's what you're here advocating for.
I'm saying that there should be a window open, and we're getting back. You still have not answered my question. Why do you think this is about sex? Do you not understand?
I just answered that.
Do you not understand this is about identity?
I just answered it.
It is so painful.
It's a bunch of adults that are sexual deviants trying to
that's
push
your argument?
The...
All trans people are sexual deviants? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. They are. But it's not even just that. I just addressed it specifically. It's autogynephilia. What's disgusting is autogynephilia being introduced to children. That's what's disgusting.
That's not true.
It's child abuse.
That's not true.
Look, it's pretty simple, man. It's very simple, okay? Whenever you introduce this idea to a child, they should just be learning basic things, playing with their friends. They shouldn't be having these like very heavy thoughts of, should I actually be a boy? What does that mean? What's a boy? What's a girl? So they're going to be like, what's the difference in a boy and what's the difference in a girl? And all you can point to is playing with Barbies? Well, believe it or not, there's more differences in boys and girls than Barbies. And so now the children are going to have to figure out what are those differences.
I understand that you're very low on empathy. But for the people out there that aren't, I want to tell you what it's like. You are trying desperately to fit into the world, and every time you try to express yourself, you get all these signals from the world that you don't fit in, and your every instinct you have is wrong, from the things you want to play with, from the vocal inflections that you use, to the friends you want to make, to the things you're interested in. When I was a child, I would literally hold my hands behind my back from the ages of like 7 to 11, because when I talk, I'd be very expressive with my hands, and they would call me a faggot. So it's like what you're not understanding is it's so much deeper than this like conservative crazy stereotype you're coming to. You literally can't function, and it breaks you in a fundamental way. It may be funny to you.
The irony of talking about
functioning.
It's
not easy to go through.
You're dysfunctional by definition. What are you talking about? I can't function. Like, no, I'm saying leave the children alone. If you think that they should one day they feel like they're the wrong gender and they should change, or the sex, the wrong sex, right? Then let them
change sex.
Let them
way.
Be adults. Yeah, that's correct, and that's all there is.
You just said the opposite, but
I corrected to say that it's sex because gender is a social construct. So it is though. So what I'm saying is why not just wait till they're adults? You're saying that for the, almost all of them, you should wait.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, if there's a female that wants to be a man, they're okay. There's
but
no
you should let them socially transition.
But specifically with what you identify as, and based on your personal experience that when you were a kid, you were more prone to girly things, then we should let little boys transition into little girls for irreversible ways, chemicals that completely change their development forever. And I've asked you, talk about bad faith, I've asked you the elephant in the room 30 times, what about when they change their mind? Do you not agree that that would be terrible and detrimental and effectively abuse? If a child, answer this question directly, if a child is being introduced to these ideas, even coaxed into the idea, because they're just kind of confused when they're younger, and then they end up being given these chemicals and this medicine and treatment from adults, and then they change their mind a few years later, is that abuse?
That would be a very bad outcome.
Would that be abuse? Would that be child abuse?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so your own argument, what you're advocating for, if you yield even 1% of people changing their mind, you're saying you're advocating for child abuse.
This is the problem with all or nothing thinking out there, because his way of thinking tells every single one of those kids, like, let's say it's like, it's the formula here that we throw 99 trans girls into being meat for the machine for one child. Like, there's an unconscious like math that's going on here, that trans people's life doesn't matter if it inconveniences someone who's not trans. And what I'm talking about here are very, very, very high safeguards. And if you understood more of the science, we could talk through what those safeguards are. They're actually extremely high. We actually know a lot about them. You want to leap to this all or nothing thinking that there's just not medical evidence for, and there's a human cost to what you're advocating.
No, what your rebuttal right there was that, yeah, sure, that to the exceptions where it would be child abuse, it's worth it. That it's like the cost-benefit analysis is that it's worth it
all
based on the numbers.
Is
that,
a cost-benefit
your argument
analysis.
Was that, yes, we should advocate for child abuse because the numbers will be low. And in fact, we don't even actually know the numbers. You're actually appealing to an absence of numbers. But this is the point. You've like trapped yourself at this point. You're saying that in the scenario that they're taught these ideas, introduced to them, and then given treatment to transition but change their mind, that would be child abuse.
I don't know how we can have a discussion with
can
someone
I please
who
finish? I'm
literally
almost done.
Does not care.
You said that it was
children.
You said no, I do care about the children. The solution, you admitted it would be child abuse. You said, but we shouldn't just sacrifice the 99 for the one. The one is now going to be suicidal, has irreversible damage they can never get back. The 99 had to wait a little bit longer till they were adults to make their own decision. What even is the benefit of doing it when they're so young
the
that
damage,
is worth child abuse?
The damage is, it's not child abuse. That's complete bullshit.
You just said it was.
The damage is you're missing out on socialization, which is very, very difficult. And testosterone is so powerful, it will permanently destroy your body and make it much harder to integrate. I want to ask you a question. So what, let's say tomorrow your child, you said they were 2 years old. Are they a boy or a girl?
They're girls.
Okay. Let's say you had a boy tomorrow. What would you do for a child? You have that child. You're horrified. They're 3 years old. They start asking you, Dad, why do I have a penis? They show a complete... I know, it's
God
not
made,
actually
that's
funny.
That's how God made you?
It's actually not that funny. So as they get older, you find they're unable to socialize. They're withdrawn from you. They're hiding. They're afraid. They are unable to make friends. You see them failing at school. And they're scared of you because you think all trans children, all trans adults are deviants in your own words.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do for your child in that situation?
Well, you know, you're supposed to be able to raise your child in a way that they feel comfortable talking to you, and you protect them from demonic sexual deviants that are propagandizing them to where they're sexually confused at young ages. That's what you do. So this is the truth, too, that doesn't ever want to be talked about. A lot of this stems from trauma. When you actually look into it, so it's like over one third of those who claim to be transgender sought out mental treatment for mental illnesses. And then there's a huge overlap with trauma.
It's a comorbidity.
So maybe don't traumatize your child. Maybe don't neglect them. Maybe don't feed them to the machine where they're propagandized. Maybe don't sexualize your children at all. Don't even have these comments. Three-year-olds don't walk up saying, I wish I didn't have a penis. That isn't reality. That doesn't actually happen. And if it does happen, that child should, or that parent should be put in jail. The parent freaking taught them that. It is child abuse. And I just want to drive this home one more time. You did agree that in the scenario that they were coaxed into it, given treatment, and changed their mind, it was child abuse. And you're saying that it's a worthy cause because of what?
This
and your
bullshit.
Answer,
your answer was
socialization. For the benefit of it being socially easier for that child, it's worth the risk.
It's not
of
just
abusing
that. It's
other
the socialization,
children.
Socialization, it is the integration, it is missing the comorbidities you were just talking about. If you have a trans child, spin a roulette wheel because something else is going to go wrong with them. They're going to have a major depressive episode. They're going to be suicidal. They're going to have social anxiety disorder through the roof. Like the comorbidities that happen to these kids when you don't affirm them are truly terrifying. You can damage those children for life. I think anyone out here can look at trans Twitter and see just how mentally unhealthy it is. Most of those kids grew up without any kind of support. Your answer, if you have that child, is essentially don't affirm them, and you have some magical ideas about how to be able to avoid this.
Magical?
My parents did
healthy
this to me.
Healthy parenting is magical?
My parents tried this to me. I still grew up to be trans.
Okay, just to clarify, right? Social integration, like I can easily counter that. It's actually going to be way more detrimental when you actually coax them into it and you appease them and you just immediately affirm these. They're just asking questions. You're like, oh, well, actually, you're probably something that we call trans. And you start coaxing them into it. When you expedite integration, this social integration, when they then change their mind, when they then find out that's not actually how they feel, right? Because it's been so open, the door's been opened up to invite them into this idea at such a young age, you're the one that's going to cause the suicides. And the evidence has shown that after medical treatment or actual transitions, the suicide rate goes up.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is true.
This is what you don't understand fundamentally. You think you can just tell someone to grow up out of gender dysphoria. We really try this. We really try to be men. We try to push these feelings so deep inside of us. It is like wearing a mask all the time. No one knows who you are. You're pretending to feel things and like things that you just have no interest in. You're more alone than I can begin to describe. And let me just tell you my story. Before I transitioned, I was literally a drug addicted, shut in mess. Reasonably smart person, I could not function, I could not hold a job. I went to a therapist for 3 months. They diagnosed me with gender dysphoria. I took that to a doctor. I got a note, I got an estrogen instantly. Life 100% came into focus. I've not used a drug in 20 years. Because I don't feel a need to do it anymore. I felt like I could function. I will guarantee you I pay more in taxes a year than you do. I've done very, very well for myself. I've made a good career. This was healthcare for me.
What are you talking about right now?
This, what? I'm saying that this is medical treatment that made my life exponentially better. Okay. And you just think you can talk someone out of it. It's not true.
No, you think that you can roll the dice with the future of children as adults, then introduce sexual deviancy to them, and I disagree
it's
with
not
you.
It's sexual deviancy.
It is because we all it's know not. That at the core of it, it is sexually driven. It's about it doesn't look. I get your. I can even say I can empathize with your position personally. Okay, that you maybe were confused or whatever. You should wait till you're an adult to act on those things, okay?
It nearly killed me.
There should be it nearly killed you.
It did.
Okay. See, this is this is what the actual evidence shows is that after some of these people, certainly when they're younger and they undergo these treatments that are irreversible, they find out my voice is never going to go back. God forbid they do surgery, right? Because then they realize that that's horrific. Okay, even just trying to get through the actual healing process, and they want to go back, but they can't go back. And the suicide rate goes up. So this idea was the reason, the alleged rebuttal was the reason that suicide's so high within transgenderism is actually because they're not accepted. It's a lack of social integration. What we found out is that's not the case at all. Even whenever they're constantly being affirmed and it's thrown all over the place, there's still a very high rate of suicide.
It's a very difficult path. This is why I would recommend to anyone, if you can find another way to deal with gender dysphoria, don't transition. It worked as well for me as it can work for anyone. It's a rough path. Because you have to sit on panels like this and have this discussion justifying your own existence to people who have no compassion for you. I want to
leave the children out of it.
I want to talk about...
This comes from compassion for children.
I want to talk about what some of the comorbidities happen if you don't treat this. You can look at my wrist right here. You can see the deepest scars. When I was a teenager, I spent so much time trying to slit my wrist right here. I immediately... When I left home, I started doing every single drug I could get my hands on, just trying to numb these feelings inside because I was so terrified about it. I had social anxiety disorder. I had no friends. And it has frankly taken me, I'm 47 now, it has taken me many years of work to try to come to a point where I can put that trauma aside. So I feel like there's a callousness in how you're talking about.
Yes, because you were just so casually talking about introducing these concepts and even medical
treatment.
Not
saying introduce it.
Even
I've
medical.
Never claimed that.
It doesn't come out of the sky, okay?
That's right.
Okay, so introducing medical treatments to them and then under your own admission. This is why you've always had to just say, that basically never happens. Under your own admission, that if it does happen, it would basically amount to child abuse and that it would increase the likelihood of suicide.
We've gone down this road.
Yeah, because that's the conclusion. But
it's bullshit. There's no study you can point to for this.
You're just virtue signaling and appealing to emotion when in the reality is I'm saying, please leave the children alone. Let them grow up. If they decide to be an adult and they want to do something like this, go for it. Don't confuse
children.
You're
just going to call them sexual degenerates if they do.
Well, if they are sexual degenerates,
we're normal people.
Autogynephilia isn't normal.
Autogynephilia abates once you transition someone, generally. It usually goes away. You're talking a sexology.
Yeah, because now they are identifying.
You're talking about a sexology theory that is a very minimally applicable theory for how most trans people live our lives. What happens is you transition, you go on hormones, and those feelings, you integrate all these feelings, and you just go have a normal life. If you like playing video games, by the way, you have a lot of trans women to think about that. There are tons of them in the video game industry. Like, we are normal people. You're talking about us like we're sexual super predators, and we're just like under-socialized, geeky women.
Being this passionate about sexualizing children is a huge red flag.
This is so much bullshit.
Hey, let me say one more thing. Maybe we can talk about what we agree on, because
I have never said sexualized children. That is a fucking lie.
I didn't say what you said anything. Let's just see what we can agree on, because I will applaud you that you at least push back on the absolute insane progressive version of this. Okay, let's talk about why though. Like, why are you so passionate about pushing back against the progressive version? Because there are people in here that are raising their hands and clapping for you. They're over there. Okay.
No, they're not.
So there are absolutely people in this room that are all like, yeah, yeah, affirm.
That's
it makes
bullshit.
Me better.
Who are they? Point to them. We'll talk to them after the show.
No, I'm not going
to
actually. I know some. And I'm
who
not
is
point.
It?
Look, I'm just saying, I'm trying to have a positive note here, because this is fruitful, right? Like, can you, in good faith, list off all the very serious concerns and negative side effects with the current state of advocating for children to transition, and then we can just strongly disagree on that remaining 10%, and I would apply all the stuff that you would say to the 10%, and say that it's child abuse, let them be adults. Can you list off all of the very serious concerns you have?
I'm not going to do this.
It sounds like you're running cover. The fact that you don't raise awareness to why it's bad is
sketchy. You're just
repeating 5 minutes till the Q&A, you brought up safeguards, but then let it go. Instead of going back to that topic, if you want to go through the safeguards that are out there, and then we'll go let him answer to that.
Thank you. So, and this actually ties into one of your points about the progressive political project, which has actually dismantled a lot of the medical safeguarding out there. So symptomology drives treatment with gender dysphoria. There are actually 6 criteria out there for having gender dysphoria. When I transitioned, I had all 6. Believe it or not, they have lowered it to just 2 standards. You just have to hit 2 things on this list nowadays to qualify for gender dysphoria, which is insanity. So what I would say is if you're talking about a child, it really has to be the most extreme version of this, hitting 6 out of 6, long years of history on this. We can move back to these older standards from the DSM-4, the DSM-4-TR. We need to completely abolish the DSM-5 standards of this and also roll back the SOC-8, which are very negative. He does have a point here that these institutions have been captured by the progressive fringe, like him. They have all or nothing thinking on this. Like him.
Leave children alone.
Like him. They don't want to look at the science of this. And like him, they have a political project that is going ahead of patient health. They don't want to look at these studies in depth with an open mind and find out what's going to be best for that patient. If we're serious about healthcare, we cannot let these wider political narratives set what we're doing for these patients. We need to make it about individualized healthcare.
Okay, yeah, so she's there. So the important part of the studies, every time I bring up the studies, you keep talking about that, like that's just a political and I'm ignoring studies. No, every time I specify or ask for specified data, you ignore it. Like when I brought up that after reassignment surgery, suicide goes up, you said that wasn't true.
Respectfully, you don't know what you're
long-term follow-up, transsexual persons undergoing sex reassignment surgery, cohort study in Sweden, sex reassigned persons also had an increased risk of suicide attempts and psychiatric inpatient care. Oh, hand wave dismissal. She like actually waved her hand. Like just hand wave dismissal.
You don't know what it's so anyone watching this can obviously see you have no fucking idea what you're talking
that's
about.
That's all you got to
do
Adam.
Not understand Adam. Anything. I'm saying make a judgment
address the
about
point.
How much he understands.
Okay, suicide attempts went up after people got reassignment surgery. Address the point.
I don't know which study you're talking about. If that did happen, what I would say is it is very difficult, particularly in this moment, to be a transgender person. There's absolutely a political project to push this out of public life. I've actually been called a sexual degenerate.
But that
would have
happened before the surgery.
I've actually been called a sexual degenerate here today. It's exhausting.
But why would it go up after the surgery?
That you deal with.
Why would it go up after the surgery? You're saying that it's social pressure. That occurred before the surgery. If anything, a surgery should help. That was your entire argument.
I'm saying
your entire
that
group's argument was that it's going to save people's
mission
lives.
That makes our lives much harder. It is
after
wildly
the surgery.
Bad. It helped me personally.
Okay, but what I'm asking you is why would the suicide rate attempt rate go up
what
after
I said
the
to
surgeries.
You is I don't know the particular study you're talking about right there. I need to look at that. This
can
is
give,
the
can
difference.
Can you give any guesses? Any guesses?
I just fucking did that, dude. You are like crazy.
No, you didn't.
You cannot
no,
follow
no,
the conversation.
No, you didn't. You addressed variables that exist prior to reassignment. So you didn't address it at all. The answer is they regret cutting off their penis. That's
no,
the reason
that's
that
not,
they're suicidal. I hate
ahead,
to break
go
it.
Go ahead
to.
Let her respond to that now.
I don't even know what to say to this. Look, vaginoplasty is a complicated surgery. I like it. I like men. It's a good surgery. So, you know, there's some regret for it. It's very complicated.
But definitely no children should do that, right? We agree on that. No children should do
it's
that.
It's bad for them because your vaginal depth would
and
be
no
terrible.
Children should take testosterone.
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
Okay, and on that agreement, that does wrap up our open discussion.
Jesus
if you
Christ.
Would, we will have approximately 25 minutes of Q&A.
Can someone bring me some whiskey, please? It's time to relapse.
Need you to back up here to at least the X. Keep sliding back, please. Keep sliding back.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Why can't you just yield the other 10%? I don't get it. We could be on the same team in that way. I'd be like, you need
I
to.
Don't want to be on your team.
Well.
All righty. Let's see if we can get these questions kicked out here then, sir.
Hi. Two questions
sure.
for you. So just to make sure, first question, just to make sure I have it right. Of the minority of children that you would say meet the symptomology
yes.
and should get treatment for transition.
Have the option
have
with
the
doctor.
And
yes.
therefore, in some rare cases, get treatment
very
for,
rare cases.
Right?
Yes.
I think you also said that the data, there's no study to show.
Yes.
So, like many other treatments, pharmacology, pharmaceuticals, et cetera, should we wait till such data exists before considering actually applying this and whether this is a good treatment or should we just kind of like, as your opponent said, roll the dice,
yeah.
apply the treatment, and just see where things go.
I think this is one of the reasons I was so against the Trump executive orders. This is a really good point, that the Trump executive orders make NIH data, NIH grants to get that kind of data, impossible now. So even if we were interested in those kinds of answers, we can't do that right now. The studies here are so universally underfunded. So if we were in good faith sitting down and saying, we're going to allocate a few $100 million to this and really study it and really understand it and develop a clinical protocol, I would 100% support a pause there. The problem is this political mission is trying to stop all of it and not do any more science on it, because I think they're afraid of the answer. So I hope that answers your question.
Hey, I got a question real fast. If a child was, if a parent allowed a child to get
this
a face.
This is not, you've, I'm not going
to. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the questions here from the audience.
How you guys doing? This is a question for both you guys.
Yes.
So there's an actress named Megan Fox. I bet you all of you guys know who she is. She was in Transformers, and she actually has three transgender sons, and she actually just adopted another transgender son. I wanted to see what you guys both think about that.
Start with Kibriana.
Seems statistically unlikely. I would like to know what trans means in this case. Is it mean they're non-binary? Are they medically transitioning? Do you know?
They are
like, transitioning to the opposite.
Well, no. They were born like that, but she adopted somebody like a son who's also like.
Well, hold on. I want to make sure I understand your question. So you said she had three children. One of them she adopted. So that's exogenous.
So she has
and
four.
The two natural children are both.
No. The three are natural. All three are natural. And she adopted someone who is natural as well.
Are they non-binary or are they?
They're non-binary, all of them.
Well, that's just social contagion.
I just wanted to see what you guys both think of that.
I think it's child abuse, and that the statistical odds of all those children being like that are astronomically, laughably low, and it's child abuse. It's child abuse.
I will heartily agree with you that some of these parents out there that seem to have all their children trans, that really sets off every red flag I have, and if I were a clinician, I would not work with them. It seems really, really strange to me.
Don't you see why that's what we should take, just be safer than sorry, and like leave the children out of it?
I'm not at all.
Well, we've been down that road a few times here. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
You had asked about Megan Fox, and I was going to ask a similar question, so I
won't.
But the word we'll use is Munchausen by proxy syndrome for the mothers to get attention. The first thing I was going to say is at one point you said that not transitioning children worsens their comorbidities.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be more the case that the comorbidity, the actual, the mental disorder, we might be speaking of the physical disorder, is the cause? And that, again, the idea that not transing them makes it worse, if in fact the comorbidity is the only reason they're trans in the first place?
Well, go ahead, let her answer that one. Can we go one at a time so I can answer it? Well, what makes more sense to you? Like, say for me, I had social anxiety disorder. Do you think not three. I just knew I vaguely wanted to be a girl. And I could have been older.
Right,
it's all these.
Transition would matter here. So I'm asking
the age of onset, for me, it was very early.
You don't
early.
Know what you thought at three.
So, but to answer your question, are you saying you think that depression, suicidality, that leads to gender dysphoria rather than gender dysphoria leading to the other?
Closer to what I was saying, more to the effect of, yes, you're depressed, and then you're given this opportunity where you're given attention by people.
Yeah.
You're immediately affirmed. You're an unimportant person. All of a sudden, you're a very important person.
Right.
Especially at that age where attention, you know, is a very important thing.
100%. Yeah. I think this is why this progressive bullshit about bringing this into schools, get rid of this today.
I understand that what you're trying to do is sort of a position in the middle where, again, the last thing I was going to point out is that when you cite the social sciences, I myself wanted to go to graduate school, and all of you can say this is a joke, but I had very good GREs, very good grades, and it was very clear that I wasn't going to be compliant. And it was one of the, for a humanity or for a social science, it matters that you have letters of recommendation, things like that. You can be gatekept.
Yeah.
And the reason someone like myself isn't a social scientist or a humanities graduate student or PhD, I think, is because I wasn't going to be compliant with the type of activism that something like the social sciences is now owned by the perspective of many of us.
Right.
So when you cite some of these statistics, I'm skeptical of the science behind it because I don't think it's science anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's activism.
I think that's a fair point. I really do. I think very clearly. But I just to for some good faith with this, like you mentioned AGP and HSTS, Blanchard is not progressive, and neither is John Michael Bailey. So neither is Anne Lawrence, for that matter. So I don't think it's the case for everyone, but you're very right to be suspicious of the methodology on these studies. Look into them, because it's generally done by grad students. It's generally surveys posted to students, and they put everyone into this giant soup. So non-binaries are there with people like me. Like, it's bad methodology. So I
think making millions and millions of dollars with an additional
revenue. There's not millions of dollars to be made through research.
Surgery. Yeah, yes, there is. Yes, for the therapy and the surgery.
We're talking about research, yeah.
Well, is Q&A just you talking? Like, I'm just making a point that there's an additional revenue stream that wouldn't normally be there. They're financially driven, and that's an absolute relevant variable.
Not to research.
And that was your question. Any last words on that one,
on Brianna? Which part of it?
Any of that. You get the last words.
I'm good. Let's keep going.
All right.
Sure. You say that three-year-olds can know they're born in the wrong body, but according to a famous study that I'm sure you're aware of, 53% of mothers of boys with gender identity disorder meet the diagnosis for borderline personality disorder. So I guess my question is, what degree do you think those three-year-olds are the result of mentally ill mothers grooming or suggesting it to them? Or does that study not count because you don't like the conclusion?
I want to be honest, I've never seen that study.
I 100% know you've seen that study. Every trans person has seen that study.
I'm being honest with you. All right. Well, so, but
I don't think you're all.
Did you say 53%? Is 53%?
For the sake of discussion, let me finish. For the sake of discussion, let's just posit that it's real. I think there's a lot of glomming on to this, the thing is early onset gender dysphoria, so call it 3, 4, 5, 6, anywhere in there. When you start socializing, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I have one quick follow-up question.
Sure.
You say a three-year-old can know they're born in the wrong body.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No.
Yeah, you did earlier.
You did.
I don't believe that.
Okay, then I don't have a follow-up question then.
Okay, since I may have said this inartfully, let me clarify my position. So I think that when children are very young, a typical transsexual case study goes like this, where the parent will start saying things to the child will say things to their parent that they're very uncomfortable with certain things and that they expect to grow up to be a girl. That's just a typical thing in a transsexual case study with early onset gender dysphoria.
Okay. Yeah, you said if they ran up to the parent and said, I'm supposed to be a girl.
I just told you what I thought. So.
Right, I'm glad we agree that's totally fictitious.
I have a question for you. When people have kids, a portion of that will be abused. If you advocate for people who have kids, knowing a small portion will be abused, are you advocating for child abuse? If not, why would advocating for what Mrs. Wu has, which has less than a 1% rate of the harmful effects you've been appealing to, be considered as advocating for child abuse, like you've repeatedly said?
Okay. Yeah. For one, it doesn't have 1%. That just made up. It doesn't have 1%. It's way greater than that. And two is because it is unavoidable, meaning that it is avoidable. You can have children, right? And we have to have children to live and survive and sustain society, okay? Now, you can have children and not allow them to transition. It's an avoidable outcome, and we don't even know the severity of the outcome yet, and it's way worse than is being suggested. So that's the answer. It's an avoidable outcome. Leave the children alone. Can a parent go give a child a tattoo on their face when they're 10? No, that would be child abuse. Okay, so is transitioning them permanently to something that is permanent, that they can't reverse, and it'll cause them to potentially be suicidal. So the answer is just that it's avoidable. Advocating for it at all is advocating for child abuse.
Great debate. My question is for the transgender. So you're on record.
Hold on. I'm not, if you're going to refer to me that way, I'm not interested in talking to you.
No,
thank
just
you.
Answer the question.
No, that's so disrespectful.
Okay. Let me just ask a question.
I'm not. No.
It's because you're a transgender, so you're a trans, yeah. And you're afraid to answer my questions. Is that what you're saying?
Good.
Know,
goodbye.
I can
goodbye.
Find transgender.
No, thank you. Thank you.
My question is, you said.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.
I know, but you're just such a pussy and coward. The only thing you're real pussy, your real pussy's fake, but you're afraid to talk to people. So maybe you are a pussy.
I think his question is like.
You're a boy. You're delusional. You're a boy. You can't do it. You're a transgender. That's what you are. And you can't accept that?
I think the question was like about tricking people into thinking that you're a girl and not letting them know. Do you think that's okay?
What's it? She didn't want to answer that, so we'll go to the next question. We'll go to the next question.
Do you not want to answer that? Okay.
We'll go to the next question.
Well, obviously it's wrong.
How you doing? I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but I want...
I'm Brianna.
Brianna.
Good to see you.
I want to ask you both separate questions. To you, I want to know, as we know, kids when they're know that they're transgender is when they are younger. That is true, right? But instead of them, taking hormones or puberty blockers, I think wouldn't the solution would be more better if we're not too sure would be the social transitioning.
Yeah.
And to
go ahead, let her answer first, and you can go to him.
Absolutely. I want to be crystal clear about this. And in fact, you should actually go very slowly on the social transition, which is not innocuous, right? So absolutely, like, let the kid experiment with who they are at home. Don't bring that to school. Go very slowly. Give them space to figure out who they are. That is the only way to do it. So yes, I heavily, enthusiastically endorse exploring with social transition first for as long as you can.
And to the guy, you mentioned trans people being sexual deviants, but wouldn't it actually be the activists? Wouldn't we be saying it's more so the activists who are, I'll say, probably sexual deviants in some cases, rather than being broad and saying all
like
trans people
yeah.
as sexual deviants?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there may be an exception, but... if we're just going to say what it is out loud, it is sexually driven and it's deviant in nature. And I said sure there may be some exceptions. I'm just saying, like, you know, that's realistically that's what it is. And so that's my take. People can disagree, but maybe there are exceptions where people. How often do you find someone that's like, oh, I want to transition and change gender, and then they don't have any like sexual motivation to do so? That like never happens. I said three times now that I'm sure there are exceptions. So I don't know what to say. I pointed out autogynephilia is literally it's literally just about sexual deviancy. That's all it is. It's literally about sexual arousal.
The literal researchers would disagree with you.
Well, that's the definition of it. Being sexually aroused at the idea of being perceived to be a woman.
Hey, Brianna, thank you.
Of course.
Wonderful debate, and congratulations on joining the long list of people to beat Witsit in a debate. Studies have shown that a higher percentage of neurodivergent are trans than non-neurodivergent, yeah. And it also shows that a higher percentage of neurodivergent regret transitioning afterwards. Why do you think so many neurodivergent regret the choice afterwards, and does this mean that there should be different rules for neurodivergence when going through transitioning?
Thank you for a healthcare-based question that I can respond to with science. This is beautiful. This is what this debate should have been. So the answer is the number of people with autism in the community have skyrocketed. They transition for different reasons than I do. They are a completely new cohort. And to come back to your question about medical research, I am tremendously, I don't want to say I want to stop it, but I think we need to make really sure that this is serving them, because it does not seem like it does in many cases. A lot of these kids with autism, like for me, I transitioned, I went out, I got a job, my life got much better, you know, became, pay taxes, ran for office, all that stuff. A lot of them literally sit online in these trans communities all day talking to each other. So I, Brianna Wu, cannot evaluate what's going on with them, but I can say that they're having a different trajectory than I did. So if you're a parent and you have a child with autism, my God, would my suggestion to you to be go really slowly and make sure whatever healthcare you get that child is not from someone with the progressive agenda. So
thank you. I appreciate your answer, and well done on the debate.
Thank you.
So this is for both panelists. Do you think puberty blockers would be a useful tool to help reduce the regret rate instead of introducing HRT to children? Do you think puberty blockers would be more useful as they are reversible?
Yeah. Thank you again for a science-based question. The puberty blockers are not innocuous. There's been a lot of disinformation from the progressive fringe talking about it like they are. It will affect bone density for life. You can kind of get around it with calcium, but it also slows your growth trajectory. So if you were going to grow up to be like 6'2", you get on puberty blockers, you're going to be much, much lower. So I think these drugs are not innocuous. They're also, this is the big misnomer, they're not covered by insurance. So I don't know how many parents out there can spend $12,000 a year on this stuff, but it's not most parents. So in my opinion, I would say slow down. If the child like needs more time, try to just go on HRT and antiandrogens the way that everyone else does.
It's child abuse.
And you think the puberty blockers are child abuse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. For the reasons that were just laid out, that there are irreversible damage to the bone density, that you're literally changing the trajectory of growing. It's just go look. If you want to talk about empathy, go look at the people that are crying nonstop online, wanting to detransition, realizing that these puberty blockers and all this medication that they were given have completely ruined their life and that they will never get it back. So the virtue signaling about empathy is completely empty nonsense, in my opinion. You should not give it to the children.
All right, next.
So I'm kind of curious of the idea of individualized healthcare.
Yeah.
And that comments and conversations about suicidality among trans youth and trans people in general.
Yeah.
So you have the suicidality of what happens when there is denying of who you are. And that you have to hide yourself and you have to wear a mask. To then you have to hide your hands because talking with your hands is feminine. I'm not going to get made fun of for talking with my hands.
Right.
So that version of suicidality. And now I'm then curious, okay, once the person transitions, why is there still suicidality there?
Sure.
Was there something else there? And so I'm curious, like, in hearing when we transition, we're still suicidal. Depression, anxiety, it's a chemical imbalance. So I'm curious, so also from both of you, that I'm curious about that suicidality piece.
Well, thank you for such an interesting question. So let me, like, if I can tell you my story. So, you know, I had severe social anxiety. I had chemical dependence. I had depression, right? All those things did not, like, I still had to deal with the damage of that after I got the gender dysphoria under control. Additionally, I don't have to tell you, it is tough to figure out the rules of being a girl. It is a lot to figure out. So you're like going out with friends, you're trying to interact with people, you're trying to date boys. Like, it's a lot of stuff to figure out. I think that one of the reasons I would be very critical of the progressive political project is they're telling people that if you transition, it's gonna fix all of your problems. And it's not. It's really good for some people, but there's still a lot of work you have to do, and it creates other problems, like that jerk you saw what he was just saying to me a minute ago. That's every, you know, that's every day on Twitter. So it's, you know, that kind of abuse is unfortunately par for the course.
Yeah. So it creates a new permanent irreversible problem. And so that obviously has the potential to be a huge source of depression or, you know, suicidal thoughts. Like, we should just be honest about that. I don't know why that's left off the list of things you're naming. It's the biggest one. It's the elephant in the room, you know? Like, it's all fun and games, and you can always decide to go back, right? You could just dress up for a year or two, change your mind. When you realize that you've permanently anatomically changed yourself, for example, right? That's a very intense thing. And that's why children should be nowhere close to these permanent changes. And the data shows that the suicide rate goes up after reassignment surgery. So I don't know. I mean, then, yeah, probably the other things you named, right? Like, just anxiety about the whole entire experience in general isn't going to just go away. But it's interesting that it goes the wrong direction, according to the advocates.
That same study you're citing, just so people know, also shows that the overwhelming majority of transitioners are very happy with their transition, just so you know. But thank you.
So my last comment is that I wonder if both parts are true.
Yeah.
Yep. That there are some individuals who do make the mistake.
Yep.
But then there's other individuals who don't make that mistake. So
right.
There's theories everywhere that says two seemingly opposing ideas can be true at the same
sure.
time.
They are both true.
Yeah, but that's why with the severity of the negative, you leave the children out of it. Right? It's a very simple argument. Everyone's like, oh, it's so redundant. It keeps being... Yeah, because it's that simple, right? Like, it's... Even if there's just a percentage, it's such a severe outcome for the negative. You should not do that to kids, man. You should just leave them out of it. Let them be adults. And I would still say, bro, they need to be careful, right? Like, obviously.
Thank you for a smart question.
Hi, my question is for Brianna.
Yeah.
So do you, I know you were saying you support research into the, you know, the diagnosis and treatment.
Yes.
Or more research, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, would you support research into the causal factors gender dysphoria? And
yeah.
then do you have any intuition as to what, if it may be fruitful or what they
there
may
be?
There was
a really interesting study that came out, I think it was 2018, where this is actually, there's a huge N for this, a huge cohort. And they did DNA sequencing of a lot of male to female transsexuals like me and found they're all common markers that we have in our protein receptors for testosterone. So something is going on there biologically with people like me and how we process testosterone, which to me kind of signals that, I mean, I clearly didn't take to it the way my co-panelists did. So I really do suspect we're eventually going to find there's a biological factor for it. I think the spicy thing I would say here is if you can find ways to abate this and stop this from happening to people, I would enthusiastically support that. This is not something I would wish on my worst enemy. I would love to see more research into it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not propagandizing them would be a good start. Can you at least admit that? It is. There is an.
We've been down
aspect.
This. We've been down this. Next question.
There's a social aspect of it, because there is.
What's it? We've been down this.
Hi. My question. I have
propaganda.
Two questions. Sort
Please.
Of. They're both for Brianna. I am on the side though that I think that you should leave children out of all kinds of these conversations. You
sure.
should not try. You shouldn't give them hormones or anything like that. Specifically, not in schools. I think that's really
sure.
big deal. But my first question is: do you think that you are a woman?
I think that trans women are really our own thing, right? I think if you put a gun to my head and say there are two things, I think I'm closer to one than anything. But, I mean, I can't menstruate. I can't have children. I missed a lot of the social stuff growing up. No, I don't think so. But I think that I'm much more authentically female than I am male.
Okay, because thank you for saying that, because I think today specifically it is a huge issue where trans women are seen as a biological, which I hate even saying that word,
yeah.
woman, because
I
you're
don't,
right.
Yeah.
You don't have a period, you don't have boobs, you're never going to be able to be pregnant. So that's very frustrating as a woman
sure.
to see online constantly. But then my second question, and then I'm
done. Can I just say one thing? I would never call you a biological woman. I would
yeah.
call you a normal woman. I think trans women are the abnormal women in my view. So.
And my last question is, though,
sure.
is that... how we're kind of talking about like deviant behavior and all, you know, that kind of stuff. It is a direct quote that you say, and I certainly don't tell every man I kiss or go on a date with about this, the fact that you used to be a man. So don't you think that that is kind of deviant, that
Where
you wouldn't
this?
Tell someone that?
I don't know this quote.
Well, I found it online. It
you might want to look into that, yeah.
Well, I know, but
yeah.
do you think that that's okay, though, to you don't
no.
not have to
no.
tell your partner, whoever you're going on a date with, that you didn't used to be a man?
I don't. I mean, I've been married for 17 years, but no, I don't think that's a good practice. Do you know who Gwen Arujo is?
No.
Gwen Arujo was a trans woman that was taken by some men she didn't tell she was trans with, and they took her and brutally murdered her over several days in an attic, torturing her to death, which was really terrifying. And I think men can be really violent on this. So I think disclosure is a good idea.
Yeah, you should go to prison if you do that.
Yeah, I just seen that online, so I just wanted to see if that was actually true or not, just
There's
because that is a little crazy, and I'd seen, too, that you were like, well, if I walk into a woman's bathroom, so no one would bat an eye, but I mean this with total respect.
Sure.
I would bat an eye because this morning we were in the elevator together, and I heard your voice, and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
I was kind of confused. I'm not meaning that in a mean way. I'm just saying, like,
sure.
I would bat an eye at that.
Sure.
So I think that's why in the bathroom situation, that's also an important topic, because you can tell whenever there's someone that's not a woman in
sure.
there.
I don't talk in the bathroom, so.
Well,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks so much for this discussion. I know it's a heated topic in our world today. My question is, I used to have body dysmorphia for 11 years in the form of an eating disorder, anorexia and bulimia. I'm now in remission for 11 years. But if someone had given me the option at that point in time to get like a gastric bypass surgery, even though I was 90 pounds, I probably would have taken it just to feel like relief of the anxiety. How do you see like how that equates to the dysmorphia that the trans community experiences?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is most trans girls also struggle with bulimia and anorexia. I certainly have, so I really understand what you're talking about. I think the difference is there's no study you can point to with someone that would say having anorexia and indulging that is a good thing, right? It's obviously not. So the fact that this can make some people's lives better, like that makes it seem very different to me, but maybe does that ring true to you or?
It does. I just wonder if I had been given the option then if I would have taken it. But because I didn't have an option, I had to like do intense mental reconditioning, positioning.
I hear you. I don't think doctors should offer that. And again, I'll say it again, I think you should be very careful about offering this to people. I think there needs to be extensive safeguards.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We can understand it with that, but not with something as permanent as sexual.
For Austin specifically, but of course both of you can answer with this, Brianna advised a slow and careful progression for kids, for the parents of children, if they think their child is trans or has experienced dysphoria. It sounds neutral. It sounds like a hybrid approach versus the truly radical, but the problem isn't really the parents, is it? Essentially, you've got celebrities, you've got activists, you've got online activists, you've got teachers, you've got organizations, and these are radical organizations. They can do a lot of what they do without parental consent in some cases. Under the last administration, they had a lot of legal protection for that as well, state laws and so forth. So what I'm asking you, is the neutral position, in your opinion, a Trojan horse for the activism?
The Trojan horse is...
We accept the neutral position, and what that allows is the fringe to operate.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand your question. You're asking me what I would propose as
I'm asking whether or not you think that when we accept a more neutral approach that seems more reasonable, are we leaving the door wide open?
Of course we are, especially in this specific scenario, right? I mean, that's exactly what that is a Trojan horse, because like you said, there's all kinds of propaganda that is pushing it. And dude, let's just call it like it is. Like, people don't realize what's going on, but the rate of autism in general is skyrocketing, and I won't talk about why, vaccines. So... And then we're
Thank you, Jesus.
In the well now.
We'll stay
thank
on topic.
You, Jesus.
Okay, so autism is skyrocketing, and then they've now found that in transgenderism, autism is very prevalent, very, very prevalent. And so we are now dealing with what you brought up, all this propaganda on top of that. Like, it's this social clout now to be trans. We are looking down the barrel of something very, very dangerous, and we are about to see this next generation grow up and regret what was done to them, and people don't seem to realize the actual severity of the magnitude of the numbers that we could possibly see. So, yes, I think we're opening the door. We should push back against it altogether. No, we don't slowly abuse our children. We just don't abuse them. If they want to be adults and they do something that's going to be harmful to them, then they have to learn their own way. But yeah, we have to, in fact, I would say the parents need to go out of their way to make sure they're helping explain this to them because of all those other variables that you're saying. So no, we don't slowly abuse the children. No, we don't socially integrate them.
All right, thank you. Next question.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you. That was a great debate. My question that I would like to ask is for Brianna. In the conversation, Austin Witsit brought up the point of kind of like social conditioning.
Yeah.
So the question of like nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
What would be like the litmus test to know if someone is being kind of like conditioned to certain kinds of perspectives versus it being like a biological situation that they're engaging
with? Can you ask that, use a little different words on that?
So if someone is actually kind of how do we know if a child is being like conditioned by like a community that's kind of promoting a certain kind of perspective versus one who really is like authentically going through this just on their own, you know, without like a kind of a nurture?
I try not to answer things when I don't know them, and I don't know how you detect children that are. We have someone that works as a therapist here. She can probably give a better answer than I do, but clearly therapists should be open to that kind of thing. And I guess before you medicalize children, you should very clearly know those, the parents, right?
Really shouldn't medicalize that. Children at all.
I know.
Thank you very much.
Of
appreciate
course.
You.
You think 90% of it is bad? I just don't get it.
All right, sir.
Hey. So, Austin, question for you. During the debate, several times you continually brought up that you want to leave children out of it and that you believe that children who are younger than a certain age, I think 3 was the age that came up, you said that you believe that children of that age don't have any concept of sexuality, relationships, gender identity, none of that. Is this correct?
No, I wouldn't say they have no concept. My daughter knows that she's a girl and that I'm a boy. You know, it just they don't just walk up to you organically at 3 and say, "I'm supposed to be a boy," which was the exact quote.
Sure, they may not, but again, it's because they don't have the language for the concept of the time. Like your children, I'm assuming you live with your wife. Mm-hmm. Your children watch you and your wife interact as a married couple, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how can you deny that children don't understand that when your children's the first relationship your children receive is between you and your wife? They understand gender identity because they see you as a man and how you interact with your wife.
I just said they understand it.
Right. And then, but you're saying that they don't organically come up, but they don't have to necessarily say it to you. They're understanding, they're living it. And that's why they understand it.
They
don't
come up and tell you, "I'm in the wrong body. I'm supposed to be a girl." Like a little boy doesn't walk up to
them. Getting that experience because they're seeing your daughter is seeing you as a man act as a man. So if your daughter is saying, "Well, is this how I'm supposed to be, or is this, or is mommy how I'm supposed to be?"
That doesn't happen. That's my whole point. That doesn't actually happen in reality. And then you're saying, "Well, they don't have to be able to communicate it to you. You can divine their thoughts." This is predatory. This always starts flirting with predatory abusive behavior. Like, I think my child probably thinks this. We should probably introduce these concepts to them. It's like, no, my daughter, I had to teach her what being a girl was and had to show her the difference in a girl and a boy. And she now will say, "Girl, boy." You know, it's like she doesn't come up to me and say, "Dad, I'm supposed to be a boy. I had this major revelation that I was misassigned." You know, it's like it requires abuse. It requires conditioning from an authoritative position. And everyone in this room knows it. And we can play this make-believe game that it doesn't. But then you say, "Well, they can't communicate it. So, just trust me, bro." So anyway, that's my position. I think it's not a realistic situation. It doesn't happen. That doesn't occur.
And also, the person saying this thinks vaccines cause autism and the earth is flat, just so people know. So.
Okay. And I understand basic biology. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the questions in-house here. Thank you to both debaters up here. Excellent job. Appreciate it very much. Kept me on my toes and paying attention. Before I let anybody go, once again, as James had mentioned, one of our sponsors is Manifold. There were 30 of you who voted prior to us getting into the open discussion. Request that only if you voted the first time, you vote the second time here. First one, who thinks Brianna made the more convincing argument during this debate? Give me 1 second. Okay, let me write this down. And while I'm writing this down, who think Whitsitt made the better argument?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. For those who remember, 30 votes to begin with, 12 said Brianna. Just going to convince them or keep them on that side, 18 Whitsitt. Brianna increased by 2 votes when it was all done, up to 14. Whitsitt dropped to 14. So ended up being a dead heat there. So with that, it is now about 15:15. James, what time are we going to start the next one? Okay, we've got 15 minutes. 15 minutes, use the restroom, go get something to drink. Thank you very much, and enjoy.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.